Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Timothy. The first book, the book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 1. 1 Timothy in chapter number 1. We're thankful for this day and glad to see folks here. And one of the things we love to do is we love to be an encouragement. Someone once gave me the advice that if you preach to broken hearts, you'll never lack an audience. God desires to encourage us so much, and I'm thankful for His written word that does give us the encouragement, that does show us that we can have victory in Jesus Christ. So if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy and chapter number 1. 1 Timothy and chapter number 1, and notice with me what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and notice in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, the Word of God says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 1? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, notice the phrase, Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And with the Lord's help, we want to hit this word hope. This word hope. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's talk to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you for this great day that you've already provided for us. And we're asking that you would be an encouragement to your dear folks who showed up here today, that we could be a blessing, that your word would open up in a special way. Lord, we're already thankful for the victories that we've already had and that we've enjoyed. And we're looking forward to even more. I'm asking that you would take this message in a special way. Lord, I know that I have no ability of myself, nothing to offer these folks. There's nothing I can say that could be a help. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you, and I reckon myself dead. I give you my thoughts. I give you my ambitions. I give you my goals, my desires, my lips, my tongue, my words. And I give them to you, and I ask that you fill me with your Spirit, and that you would get your own work accomplished through your precious word, and that we would lift up Lord Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many different ways to study the Word of God. You can study the Bible through its books. I love taking entire books and reading through the books and getting the context of it. There you could study the Bible through its great themes. The great themes of the Bible, the golden, the scarlet thread of redemption that runs through the Bible from cover to cover. Or the scarlet thread of Jesus' second coming that you could follow through it. You could study the Bible by its topics. You could study things about angels. You could study what does the Bible say about hell. You could study these great topics. You could study the Bible by its characters. I love character studies. To examine a person's life in the Bible and to see the emphasis that God places on it and to draw application from someone's life. Then you could study the Bible by its words. God is a smart enough God that He chose the words in the Bible very purposefully and with intention. And each of the words He uses has a specific meaning. And one of the words that we find here is the word hope. Now, the word hope in the Bible is a little bit different than how we would use hope. For example, some of you may have looked out your window this morning and said, "I hope that it snows." Some of you looked outside the window and says, "I hope it doesn't snow." But the way that we use that word hope is almost like a wistful thing. It's almost like grabbing at wind. It's not really something solid. It's something you're just kind of wishing for. But the way that the Bible uses the word hope is completely different. The word hope in the Bible means this. It is a confident expectation of someone or something sure to come. That word hope means it is a confident expectation of something or someone sure to come. And the Bible clearly explains what is our hope in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ is our hope. Hope is something very important. It's not something wistful. It's something confident. I believe that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. You know, everyone needs hope. People who study the human body understand that you can live a small time without food. They say that you could live a small time without water. But one thing someone cannot live without, they cannot live without hope. Everyone needs hope. Everyone needs hope. And the hope that we have is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. So maybe I could ask the question here. Why is Jesus Christ our hope? What makes Jesus Christ our hope? Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a word study and study the word hope found in the Word of God. And I want to pretty much ask the question, what makes Jesus Christ our hope? What is the hope that we find in Jesus Christ? If you don't mind, let's go to the first passage I'd like to show you in the book of Titus. If you're in the book of 1 Timothy now, it's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Notice with me in Titus in chapter number 2. Let's find what the Bible says. What kind of hope do we have in Jesus Christ? What is this hope that Jesus provides for us? In Titus chapter 2, we find one of these hopes that God gives us. Titus chapter number 2, and notice with me starting at verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, notice what the Word of God says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first thing I'd like to show you about this hope that Jesus Christ gives us is that it is a blessed hope. It is a blessed hope. Notice again, as the Bible describes this in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. When Jesus Christ came, he gave to give every person salvation. There's not a single person whose salvation has not been extended to. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. With that promise that God gave us for salvation, is that the promise that God will forgive us of all of our sins. The stuff we used to do, the stuff we're going to do today, and the stuff we're going to do in the future. God promised to forgive us of all of our sins. Then to capstone it off, he died to give us salvation so we can live with God forever. You know that God is going to keep his word? And what makes the hope that we have in Jesus Christ a blessed hope is that he is going to do what he said he was going to do. Notice what it says in verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. That has the idea of seriously, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, because we know that Jesus Christ is coming, because God made us a promise and he's going to do what he said he was going to do, we have confidence that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. That's that word hope. We have a confident expectation that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. That should affect us in how we live right now. That right now that we should deny ungodliness and worldliness, but instead we should live soberly or live seriously. We understand that God has put us in this world for a reason, and he has brought us salvation for a reason, and there's an expectation of what we should do, that we should live righteously. That means to live right. We can figure that out. We should live right and godly in a way that lives, that lifts up God, that points people to him in this present world. So we know that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do, and that affects how we live today. But let's explain this blessed hope. Verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God in our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? It's a blessed hope. You know what this blessed hope is? Jesus is coming again. When Jesus is coming again, he is going to fulfill what he said he was going to do, and that was to bring us to live with the Lord forever, to be with him. That is our blessed hope, that Jesus is going to come back to do what he said he was going to do. That's one of the reasons why we can have hope, dear friend, is because our God is going to do what he said he was going to do. I can have a confident expectation that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. He promised he would. We're looking forward to the time where he's going to do that. We have a blessed hope. We have a real hope. That word blessed, by the way, means happy. We have a happy hope. We have something that brings us cheer and brings us peace, knowing that our God is going to do what he said he was going to do. That's our blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that we're looking forward to him. We're looking for him to come back, because when he comes back, he's going to fulfill his promises to us. That's our blessed hope. But the Bible says even more about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Notice, if you don't mind, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you're in Titus right now, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, then after that you go to the book of James and then 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter number 1. What is the hope that Jesus Christ gives us? Well, first of all, we know it's a blessed hope. We have a happy hope. We have a rejoicing hope, because Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. That's encouragement. I can have confidence. I can have a confident expectation that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking for him to fulfill his promise that he's going to take me to live with him forever. And I get a brand new body and everything that goes along with it. Notice something else about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and notice with me in verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, notice this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice the type of hope that we have in verse number 3. We have a lively hope. If you want to say it this way, we have a living hope. Do you know why we can expect God to do what he said he was going to do? Do you know why we can look up to him and expect him to come down? Because he lives. He lives. Notice again verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Why? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, when Jesus Christ, he was nailed to a cruel cross and he died. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, Jesus rose again, and he is alive forevermore. You know, when Jesus Christ arose from the grave, it proved two things. First of all, it proved that Jesus was God. The second thing it proved, that God was satisfied with the payment that Jesus made on the cross. Because he lives, you know why I can expect God to fulfill his promise? Because he's alive. He can do what he said he was going to do because he's still alive. That is one thing that makes us unique from other religions. Confucius, you can go to his grave. He can't do anything for his people. You could go to the Buddha, the Siddhartha. You could go to him, and he can't do anything for his people. You could even go to Muhammad's grave, and he cannot do anything to help his people. But the one thing that is different about us is that we serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, and I know that he is with me. No matter what men may say, I hear his voice of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives! He lives! Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives! He lives! Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. You know, that's what makes our hope so real, is that we have a living hope. He can do what he said he was going to do because he lives. That's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It is not a dead hope. It is not a hopeless hope. It is not an imaginary hope. It is a living hope. What is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? It is a living hope. But that's not all. The Bible says even more about the hope that we have in Jesus. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans is found early in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. The book of Romans in chapter number 8. The Bible says quite a bit about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It said earlier that Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our confident expectation of someone or something sure to come. What makes Jesus Christ our hope? Well, we said, first of all, he's our blessed hope. That we're looking forward to him coming back to do what he said he was going to do. What makes the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? What is this hope? It's a living hope. It is a lively hope because he lives. He rose from the grave and he is alive forevermore. And he can do what he said he was going to do. What else is this hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Notice with me in the book of Romans in chapter number 8. Romans in chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8 is dealing with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's interactions with man. And notice as we pick it up in verse number 24. Romans 8 and 24, it says this. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Notice this in verse 24. We are saved by hope. We could say it this way. It is a saving hope. It is a saving hope. You know what the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is what saves us. Maybe if we were to substitute another word, we as Christians would say it's faith. That we are saved through faith by grace. And not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It is a saving hope. You see, I don't misplace my hope when I put it in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people who have faith, and they have a lot of faith. Maybe there's an environmentalist who has a lot of faith and they love all the trees. There are some people who have a lot of faith in their causes they have. But it is not how much faith you have that saves you, dear friend. It is the object of your faith that saves you. And when we put our faith, our hope, our confident expectation that he's going to do what he said he was going to do, and we put it in Jesus, it saves us. You see, we're trusting that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. And when you, by faith, accept it, remember, it is by faith and not by sight. You know, we believe in something that we have not seen and we have not touched. There's not a single one of us that have had that privilege to be able to see Jesus, to shake his hand, to touch him, to eat meals with him. We believe by faith that he's going to do what he said he was going to do without even seeing him. Some of the world calls us crazy, but this is the type of faith that is a saving faith. That we believe that God is God and that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. And when we by faith believe, we accept, we trust that he's going to do what he said he was going to do, the Bible says we become saved. It is a saving hope that we've been forgiven of our sins. That's what God said he was going to do. He was going to forgive us of our sins. So when we trust him by faith, he does that. He forgives us of our sins. That we believe by faith that one day he is going to take us out of this horrible, nasty world. And we're going to live with him. We get to trust that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. That is faith that saves us. Remember, it's not how much faith you have. It is the object of faith that is important. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? It is him and him alone. By the way, it's not Jesus and your good winning personality. It's not Jesus plus all the good things you do. It is not Jesus and baptism. It is not Jesus and how much money you give. It's Jesus and him alone. He is enough. He is enough. That's why the Bible says in the most famous Bible verse in all the world, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him," you know, you wouldn't be wrong to say, "whoever hopeth in him, whoever faith in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." We are putting our faith, our hope, our confidence, our belief that he is going to do what he said he was going to do. And when that happens, dear friend, the moment that you accept Jesus, he starts by forgiving you and making you a new creature. That moment is enough. When you trust him, you hope in him, it saves you. Notice again what it says. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it?" We're looking for something that we cannot see. "But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." You know, the one thing about Jesus is that we're having patience for him to come because we've never seen him. And we're looking forward to the first time I behold him. I look upon him. I look upon his face. The first thing I see is him. Oh, what a wonderful thought that we're going to see him one time. We're going to see him forever. And I'm looking for the time I get to see him face to face. The Bible goes on and says even more things about faith. While we're in the book of Romans, turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans in chapter number 5. Notice the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus Christ, which is our hope. It says that we have a blessed hope. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back and doing what he said he was going to do. That thought is a blessed thought, a blessed hope. The reason why we can believe in Jesus that he's going to do what he said he was going to do is because he's a living hope. He is a lively hope. He's alive forevermore. And when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, it is a saving hope that we put our faith in him that he's going to do what he said he was going to do. What else does the Bible say about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Notice with me in the book of Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Notice what the Word of God says. Romans 5 and 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Here it says we have a rejoicing hope. You may say it this way, because of the glory of God, we have a glorious hope. We have a glorious hope. It is glorious. We have a rejoicing hope. You know, we have a reason to sing. We have a reason to shout. We have a reason to exclaim. We have a reason to be happy, to have peace, because our God is going to do what he said he was going to do. Notice again in verse 1. "Therefore," so because of all of this, being justified by faith, that word justified carries the idea that it is just as if we had never been sinners. When Jesus forgave us, he washed us white as snow. We are clean. We have no we have Jesus' record on our account. It's gone. All of our sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're buried in the deepest sea. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. Now, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most wonderful things that you can have, dear friend, is peace. To be able to know and not just think or guess or use the hope in a wistful thing, but to have confidence that we have peace with God, that we're forgiven of all of our sins. That's peace. You know, I don't have to lay down at night and put my head on my pillow and wonder if I'm going to heaven or not. There's a lot of people who do that. There's a lot of people who don't know what's going to happen. I deal with people in the hospital setting. And sometimes right before a surgery, they're so scared because what if something went wrong and they don't know what's going to happen to them? Let me tell you, dear friend, we can have a peace that passeth all understanding because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He lives, and I can have a hope. "Whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." You know what that means? That you and I can talk to God whenever we want. You know, the reason why God saved us is to have fellowship with man. God wants us to spend time with him. What is a more glorious thing? What is a more rejoicing thing to not only know that I can have peace with God, but I can talk with Him? Think about how big God is. God is the creator of this universe. He spoke the worlds in existence. He is a big God. All of the universe, which is so big, is small compared to God. Think about time. Do you know that God is outside of time? That God started time, and God will see the end of time, and all of time can fit in the palm of His hand. Think about how long time seems to us, that we can look back and see how time stretches, and we may even see ourselves small and look back. Look at the Roman days. Look back at the pyramids. Look how far it is, and it could seem like time's so big and we're so small. And yet God is bigger than time. But think about how big God is, and yet He still wants to spend time with you. He still wants to have fellowship with you. He still wants to hear what's going on in your heart and in your mind. He still wants to hear about your day. He still wants to hear what's going on and what's aggravating you and what's breaking your heart. He wants to hear it all. And you can talk to Him anytime. Isn't that enough to make you shout and sing? Isn't it enough to make you rejoice? Woo! And we have a great God. He is a great God. He is a wonderful God. We have a rejoicing hope. We have a glorious hope. You know, some people say, well, I don't shout. That's not what we do. And you find what you do. You know, maybe you shoot that 20-point buck. You'll cheer. You know, when the Dallas Cowboys beat the Packers, you'll cheer. I mean, some of us, but, you know, but, you know, whatever it is, there's something that gets you excited. I'm sure you're not monotone all day. What more do we have to rejoice in to realize that the God of the universe wants to spend time with me? Do you know that when you pray to God, there's never a busy single? When you talk to God, there's never one for English, two for Spanish, three for Japanese. You don't have to go through a telephone thing. He's there whenever you call. He's never busy. He's never on another call. He's there to listen to you. And you can have confidence that He hears you when you pray and that He cares. You know, we've all been to phone conversations where we have a person that talks and you can lay down the phone and pick it up, go, uh-huh, and pick it up, and they don't even know you're gone. Well, He listens to you. He wants to hear everything you say. We have access to God. We could ask Him. We could talk with Him. We could fellowship with Him. What a rejoicing thing that our God wants to spend time with us. That's a wonderful hope that we have. Because of Jesus Christ, we have access with Him. We have peace with God. That should be enough to make us rejoice. That should be enough to make us to shout in the glory of God. You know, there's something else about the hope that we have. Notice with me in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. I know we were in 1 Peter before, so hopefully that will help you. The book of 1 Peter in chapter number 3. What is this hope that we have in Jesus Christ? The Bible says we have a blessed hope, that we're looking forward to Jesus Christ coming back. He's going to come back to do what He said He was going to do. What is this hope that we have in Jesus Christ? He is a lively hope. He is a living hope. I serve a risen Savior. Because He lives, He can do what He said He was going to do. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's a saving hope. That when I put my faith and I trust that Jesus is going to do what He said He was going to do, it brings me salvation. He offers me forgiveness. He makes me a new creature. He changes me. It is a saving faith because my object is Jesus and I'm putting my faith and trust in Him. What is this faith, hope that we have in Jesus Christ? It is a rejoicing hope. It's a glorious hope. I have a reason to shout and sing. I have a peace with God. I can rejoice in what God has done for me. Oh, it's the hope that I have in Jesus. What else is this kind of hope that we have? Notice, if you don't mind, 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And notice the type of hope that we have recorded in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Notice what the Word of God says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. What type of hope do we have in Jesus Christ? This is a wonderful thing. Notice this, we have a reasonable hope. we have a reasonable hope. This verse here says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that's within you. You know, if someone comes up and says, why in the world do you believe you're going to heaven? Why do you believe you're forgiven of sins? Do you know that we can explain from the Bible, we can explain logically why we're going to heaven. We can explain logically why I'm trusting in the Lord. May I explain a little bit? You know, heaven is a perfect place. That's why we want to go there. You know, up in heaven, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. It's a perfect place. But what makes heaven really worth going there is that Jesus is there, that God is there, and that one day we're going to spend time with him. Everything that we know about God in the Bible could be summed up this way, that he is holy, holy, holy. The word holy carries the idea of perfect. So we could say it like this, that God is perfect, perfect, perfect. But dear friend, you could probably admit, like I can, that none of us are perfect. You know, the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. We would summarize it and say, don't tell lies. You know, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor of a church, but I've told lies. How many have ever told a lie before? Right? If you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. Because we've all told lies. We've all told lies. You know, I'm a pastor of a church. The Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother. Do you know, I'm a pastor of a church, but I've disobeyed my folks. How many have ever disobeyed your folks before? That's why the parents start looking at their kids, making sure they're raising their hands, right? Good. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that in order to go to heaven and spend time with a perfect God, we have to be perfect. But dear friend, the problem is that none of us are perfect. And just using logic, you can't set something that's not perfect and place it into a perfect place. It would ruin it. It would ruin it. You know, someone said that if you find a perfect church, don't join it because it would no longer be perfect, right? You know, you can't set something that's not perfect and place it into a perfect place. It would ruin it. And God has to protect heaven. He cannot allow heaven to be ruined. Go back to the Garden of Eden. How many sins did it take for them to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden? One. Because God was trying to keep it perfect, and he could not allow man to stay into a perfect place in a sinful condition because he was no longer perfect. God has to protect heaven. And you say, well, that's a problem. I said, yes, it is. The Bible goes on and says the same thing in Romans 6:23, where he says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, a wage is something we owe God. It's something we earn. For example, when you go to work, you earn money. We call that a wage or a payment. Well, the Bible says for the wages of sin. Sin is anything that we've done against God. For example, we've all admitted that we've told lies. We've all admitted that we've disobeyed our folks. That's the Ten Commandments. We have broken God's Ten Commandments. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That word death literally carries the idea of separation. For example, if we had a casket here and we had a body in here, we would say that person is dead because their body is there, but their soul is separated forever. Now, when you die, there's only two places to go, a wonderful place called heaven or an awful place called hell. Do you know that God never created hell for a single human to go there? He created hell to punish Satan and his demons. Man goes there by default because we deserve to be separated from a holy God. See, either you're perfect and you get to go to heaven, or you're not perfect and you deserve to be separated from God, and there's only one other place to go. You say, preacher, that's bad news. Yes, but here's the good news. The good news is that God finished off the verse in Romans 6:23 when he said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That Jesus died for us, that Jesus lived the same life that you and I lived, that he went through the same temptations, the same troubles, and the same heartbreaks. Then he died to pay the price that you and I owed him. What's more is he did it for free. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For example, if I was to hand you a gift and say, what must you do to make that yours? All right. Did you have to pay me money for it? No. Did you have to mow my lawn for it? No. He didn't even have to be nice to me. All you had to do was take it. Well, the same thing's true about going to heaven. To go to heaven, you don't have to go to church. To go to heaven, you don't have to pay money to the church. To go to heaven, you don't have to help little old ladies cross the street. Now, all those things are good things and things we should do, but those things don't get us to heaven. The only thing that gets us to heaven is that Jesus died for us and paid our price. And then we must personally accept Jesus to be our Savior. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty God owed us. You see, what we have, dear friend, is we have a reasonable hope. We can easily explain to anyone the reason of the hope that's within me. What is that? That God is a real God and He loves me. But heaven, because it's a real place and because it has to be perfect, I am a sinner. I have sinned. It comes short of the glory of God. Because of that, I deserve to be separated from God from all eternity into an awful place called hell. The good news is that Jesus died for me, and that all someone has to do is personally accept Jesus as their Savior. You see, that's a reasonable hope. I don't have to make them jump through hoops. I don't have to make them do backflips. I can easily explain to them that why I'm going to heaven, not because how great I am, because of what Jesus has done for me. That God loves us, that I'm a sinner. Because of my sin, I've offended a holy, righteous God, and I deserve punishment. But Jesus loved me so much, He died for me, and I personally ask Jesus as my Savior. You see, we have a reasonable hope. That's not unreasonable. I can easily explain that to anyone. Why do you believe you're going to heaven? I could explain that very simply to anyone. Aren't you glad we have a reasonable hope? It's very reasonable. We could explain it to anyone. Notice again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. If anybody says, how do you know you're going to heaven? I can reasonably explain it to them because I have a reasonable hope. It is reasonable. You know, there's something else I'd like to show you about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Notice with me 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? Well, according to the Bible, it's a blessed hope that Jesus Christ is coming back to do what He said He was going to do. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's a living hope. It's a lively hope. Because Jesus lives, He can do what He said He was going to do. What is this hope I have in Jesus Christ? It's a saving hope that when I put my faith, my trust, my hope in Jesus Christ, that is what saves me because it's Him and what He did. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's my glorious hope. It's a rejoicing hope. I can rejoice in the peace of God that He gives me. I can rejoice in the access I have to God because of this hope, because of Jesus. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's a reasonable hope. I can reasonably explain to anyone why I have hope in Jesus Christ. Notice with me one other thing we see about hope. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, and notice with me in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 in verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. What is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ? According to this passage here, it is a purifying hope. It is a purifying hope. You see, our hope is that Jesus Christ is coming back to do what He said He was going to do. But dear friend, do you realize that Jesus Christ is going to come back and do what He said He was going to do? And when He comes back, you and I are going to face this Jesus, and we're going to give account for our life. When you realize that one day I'm going to stand before God, it should make us look at our life a little bit different. Do you know that the Bible doesn't say that Jesus was going to come back quickly or come back soon? It said He's going to come back suddenly. We don't know when He's going to come back, but it's going to be sudden. That means you could, he could come at any time. He could come before I'm done preaching. Some of you are saying, please, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus can come before the night's over. He could come at any time. It could come back suddenly. That means there's not going to be any warning. That means he could come when you're in the midst of sin. Do you realize that if Jesus Christ could come back and do what he said he was going to do, you don't want to be caught in the midst of sin? You know, one day when we're up in heaven after the rapture comes, when God calls us away and we're with him, we're going to be talking about, hey, where was you when Jesus Christ came back? You don't want to be the person that said, I don't want to talk about it. And people, oh, one of those. You know what I'd rather do? I want to be the last person to lead that last soul to the Lord. I want to be in the midst with an open Bible and them reading it. And at the moment in their heart where they accept Jesus Christ, all of a sudden raptured out. I want to be that person leading the last person to the Lord. Oh, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? You see, when we realize that Jesus Christ is coming back, that's our hope after we. That's what we're looking for. Jesus Christ is coming back. If you believe he's coming back, if you believe he's going to do what he said he's going to do, it should purify how we live our lives, because he could come back any time. And we want to be caught faithful when he comes. We want to be caught doing what we're supposed to be doing rather than be caught doing something we're not supposed to be doing. It's a purifying hope. It changes the way that I live. Remember, we talked about that at the very first passage we turned to Titus. Knowing that he is coming back, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, because we know Jesus Christ is coming, it affects the way we live right now. If you truly have a hope that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do, it affects how we live right now. It is a purifying hope because we want to be pleasing to him. What is this hope that we have in Jesus Christ? First of all, it is our blessed hope. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ doing what he said he was going to do. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's a lively hope. It's a living hope that Jesus Christ, he lives. He rose from the grave and he's able to do what he said he was going to do because he lives. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It is a saving hope that when I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, he saves me. He delivers me from the penalty that I owed him. What is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's a glorious hope. It's a rejoicing hope because I have get to rejoice. I have peace with God and I have access with God. It should make me excited about the things of God. I have a reason to rejoice. I have peace. Oh, we have a wonderful God. What is this hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It's a reasonable hope. There's a reason for the hope that I have, and I can logically, reasonably, and biblically explain it to anyone. Why I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. The Bible says, what is this rejoice? What is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ? It is a purifying hope. That if I truly believe that Jesus Christ is going to come and do what he said he was going to do, it should affect the way that I live right now. Knowing I'm looking for that blessed hope. Knowing he's coming back. Knowing one day I'm going to stand before him, give an account. It should change the way I live now, knowing he's coming back. So that brings me to a question, dear friend. Do you have this hope? Maybe I could ask it this way. Are you 100% sure? Not 95, not 75, not 50-50. But are you 100% sure if something was to happen to you today? Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? You can know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have we written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know that we know that we know, because God's word says it. He says, I wrote these things so that you can know. Are you trusting? Are you believing in it? You can know. So friend, let me ask you that question. Are you 100% sure from the Bible? Meaning you could take the Bible and explain or tell me something about the Bible that you know for sure that you're going to heaven. Dear friend, if you don't know, let me tell you the greatest thing that could happen to you today is for you to accept this great hope that Jesus has offered you. That you could have this forgiveness full, free, and forever. And it would be our great privilege to take the Bible and to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. Dear saint, do you know for sure that Jesus is coming? If you do, does it affect the way that you live? Do you think that Jesus Christ could come back suddenly? He could come back at any time. He could come back and you change your life. You live your life pleasing to Him, knowing that this hope that you have is going to come back and do what He said He was going to do. And it could happen at any time. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe afternoon, but it may be soon. Coming again, coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. You know, we have a real hope in Jesus Christ. Remember, the word hope is not a wistful thing, a wishful thing. It means a confident expectation in someone or something sure to come. You know, our confidence is that Jesus Christ is going to do what He said He was going to do. That is our hope. We have a biblical hope, friend. Do you have it? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.